WWA, mobile.
Teach you to stay out of the rain.
And I just ran up on a machine in Spartanburg, manufactured in 88. And they want to know why I can't get the parts for it and fix it under warranty.
Okay. In 4WRO.
Morning, Bill.
I'm just waiting for the rain to quit.
Feeling you're going to be waiting a while.
Yeah, I was looking at radar. It looks about another hour and a half or so, and we'll be out of it.
I thought one of the talking heads on the idiot box said it was going to rain through tomorrow. Nah, this band of showers
that are showing on radar should be through us here in about an hour and a half.
So, I'll tell you what. My wife's son borrowed my spare car, little Saturn, and my car, my truck, is in the shop getting a little bit of body work done to it where this idiot ran into the side of me. And everybody else has got all my cars, so I'm stuck driving my spare, an old 85 Ford pickup.
Yep, I know what you mean. If it ain't one thing, it's another.
One thing or another always land on my head.
Hey, what radio you on? It sounds just a little muffled.
I just turned up 150
and it's kind of loud in the
cabin. It's an old truck. I tell you what, I got another radio in here. Let's try a little experiment. Okay?
Do about 10 seconds. Yeah, that got really staticky.
Come on, the radio.
The audio came up, the treble came up, but you got a lot of frying noise in there. You might be in a bad spot, too. Yeah, yeah, you're down quite a bit, but that's just because where you're at.
Ticked off and
irritated. Not just, you know, I'm in the rain driving around. Now I got to go to Simpsonville to work on one. And, you know, I just don't want to get in a bad mood today.
Yeah, and you sound a lot better. You got out of that noisy area.
From Reedville Road down the back of Spartburg, and I'm headed on 290 back over towards Interstate 85 now. So, yeah, it does get a little rascally over here.
I'm just thankful it's there.
For now. Have you heard any of that stuff we're doing on the Simplex net?
No.
We're doing a Simplex net. And right now we're plotting out what kind of ranges we can get on Simplex to different stations. And I tell you what, it's pretty interesting. The range that you can get on these radios on 2 meters, well, let's put it this way, it's shocking to me.
Yeah, I thought I heard you talking to somebody the other day that he had done a map of it or something. What time, what frequency?
I tell you what, it's the Thermal Belt Amateur Radio Club that's doing it, and they're out of Troward, North Carolina. Now, how far into Easley are you?
I'm south of Easley. I'm about 3 miles south, right across the Pickens-Anderson line.
I don't know if you can hit that repeater or not, but we have a net check-in every Monday night, and it's just a normal net. It's not a simplex, and it's on 145.33. I believe it's got a tone of 91.5, but you need to look that up and verify it. Go see if you can go over there and hit that. I know you'll need 50 watts to get up to it, and you'll need to be on the radio that you're on. That other one won't hit it, I guarantee you.
All right, I got that programmed. Hold on, I'll be right back. Let me go check it. N4WRO. WA, N4WRO.
N4WA. Joel, did you hit it?
Yeah, I can hit that on low power, 5 watts. It's a little scratchy, but I can hear it. I mean, I can key it.
Why don't you check into the net with us on Monday night? It's at 7:30. And I'll tell you something. That would be an interesting experiment to try to hit that simplex. As a matter of fact, do you ever get on the radio in the evenings?
Sometimes. It depends what I got going on.
Something has going on for you?
Well, no, not really. It's just, it depends on what me and the cat are doing, if we're taking a nap or watching TV or talking on HF. Who knows?
An interesting experiment. If you got on the radio that you're on right now and boosted the power up to 50 watts, we might try to see if we can hit each other simplex.
One evening when you're at the house, you ain't got nothing to do. You got my phone number. Just send me a text.
I'll do that. And what we're doing is we're setting up that simplex net to where, you know, if the power goes out or, you know, something happens, you know, tornadoes or bad storms or anything like that, you know, we can at least still communicate emergency communications between stations.
Yeah, that's a good idea in case the repeater goes down. Because I know GSP, you know, the Skywarn, they fire off. And they link a bunch of the repeaters in the area together. But, you know, you never know.
In the area back years ago when that hurricane come in, I'm trying to remember what it was. It was Hurricane, I think it was Hugo. Man, it tore the place up. And it came right up into South Carolina and went right up into Charlotte. I mean, we didn't have cell phones. We didn't have nothing for a while.
I was active duty Air Force at Shaw and living in Sumter, and you do not have to tell me about Hugo.
You remember that, don't you?
took us over a week to cut ourselves out of the neighborhood.
Listen, I'm getting the phone call. I'll be back in there in just a minute. KN4, VWA, clear.
Nah, I didn't answer the phone. Hey, I got a couple things I got to do. I'm going to jump out. We'll talk to you later. It's 4WRO. 4WA,
Baldwin.
Well,
KK4JVQ, W4DJW. You listening, Larry? Nothing heard. W4DJW, clear.
W4DJW,
KN4VWA. KN4VWA, W4DJW.
Listen, you're
going
to have to climb and turn up the thermostat and turn off the spigot, bud.
I wish it was that easy.
Me too. Well, did you get that program written?
Yeah, you want a copy of the results?
Love it. Yes, sir.
All right, I'll send you a copy. I was just curious about why Larry couldn't get out to so many people. And so I did an elevation profile. Since now I have all the data in Google Earth, right? I have all the pins, I have all the connecting lines. I just went through there and made an elevation profile for everybody connecting to Larry's station. And he has dirt between him and every station that participated.
So he's down in a hole then?
Yeah, right where he lives, it drops off like down to 816 feet above sea level. That's really low for around here.
That is 300 feet below me. That's a lot.
Yeah, well, that explains it. You never know. I mean, I just couldn't fathom somebody couldn't talk to anybody around. But where he drives to his location, he's going downhill from any angle he comes to it from.
I think he'd get a variance for a 300-foot tower.
Probably, with Homeland Security. Homeland Security basically invalidates HOA.
He's on top of that, he's got an HOA?
Yeah, I think he lives in a community that frowns very much on antennas. Let's just put it that way.
I think I'd have to be moving somewhere else. Well, in the meantime, 85 is foggy. About three-quarters of a mile is visibility. Regular steady rain. And I don't even know what the temperature is. I'm in my old truck.
I'm looking now to see what it is at GSP. GSP is 59 degrees and raining.
Okay, well, I know I'm not running much heat. It's kind of nice out there. Well, we'll get another couple of really cold blasts. Matter of fact, I think we're supposed to get a good cold blast this weekend, aren't we?
I don't know, but with this kind of weather, if this doesn't clear up, they've got a new a new version of the OS that contains a lot more graphics in the version of the transmitter that I've got, the X, whatever that is, X20S. So I thought I might take a few days, back up everything I've got so that I can get back to where I am right now, because I got a ton of airplanes in there, and see if I can do the upgrade and get my airplanes working on the new version. It's got a great big green battery cell. It's so one of the screens, if all you're worried about is your battery, because you're going long distance, you flip over to that screen while you're flying, and man, you can't miss it. Doesn't matter how bright the sun shines, you can't miss it. You know how much fuel's left in the tank, regardless.
That's good. Well, I just passed under Highway 14, and everything. I'm glad I got almost a full tank of gas, because everything is coming to a stop out here. Good old 85 at Pelham Road has probably got some idiot that has not figured out what the big round thing in the middle is.
All right. Patience, patience, patience.
I just don't understand. You know, the first pedal on the right makes it go. The pedal in the middle makes it stop. The big round thing makes it go left or right. As long as you don't get in too big a hurry and do something stupid, there's no problem.
You mean you've never had an accident? You've never bumped into anything? You never scratched anything? Even when you were a kid growing up? I think we've all been there. Got to have patience for them.
W.A. honestly say, in 2.5 million miles, I have been absolutely so fortunate that I have not had a chargeable accident against my license. Now, I've had tickets, but I've never had a chargeable accident to my license. And I know that's pretty miraculous, but I've been lucky.
Well, neither have I, but that doesn't mean I haven't done things wrong. I just didn't get caught or done dumb things. I've done really, really dumb things, and I wonder how is it that I'm still alive sometimes. Having a blowout at 90 miles an hour on a used tire that I put on the back of the Trans Am, that was just dumb, right? But it happens, and people are at all different stages of their life, so you got to have patience with them.
Yep. Got to. And I don't really have much choice now since we've come to an absolute dead stop. Halfway between 14 and Pelham Road. We love it. We want some more of it.
See, that's just more fuel to going 3D, right? We've been 2D long enough. It's time to go 3D. Even if it means you have to break a few eggs. To build a cake, you got to break a few eggs. And we're going to break a few eggs, but it's time to go three-dimensional. 2D's just not cutting it for us anymore.
Right. You know what I can't wait for? Well, I don't know. With my flying skills, it probably wouldn't be a good idea. But, man, those hovercrafts sure are looking good.
Have you seen the new one? So these guys got this plan that's really nice. So, I've always worried about it. I know it's coming, and I know they're... people are practicing, and they've got hex copters, in the form of a ellipse, where two front are close together, two back are close together, and then you got two in the sides. And that's probably one of the safest. And they're flying all over the place, and they're getting longer and longer time with more and more batteries. But there's also a couple of new types of batteries coming out. A nuclear diamond battery. Live charge time, 28,000 years. You charge it once, and it's due for another charge in 28,000 years. It's under development. It's not there yet. The fuel cells, they're under development. So there's a lot of ways to get around the battery problem. And the nuclear diamond is, it uses the waste that we go and bury out in the field, and it's perfectly safe. There's no way it's going to harm humans because it's such a small amount of it. But they've got to get it boosted up to where you can pull more energy out of them without making them big and heavy. And so that's one of the technologies that's coming on the scene. And then there's these guys that have this chopper that instead of having blades like we use on our airplanes that spin around in circles, they have drums that spin around in circles. And inside the drum is a wing. And as the drum comes up to the top, the wing is increasing its pitch because it's going forward. All right, and then as it comes back up the other side, it's decreasing its pitch so that it can travel through the air coming up without any resistance. Pretty cool concept. Have you seen that one?
It's kind of like the Servatius wind turbine. Have you seen those?
Those that stand vertical, it's just like a big vertical cylinder that's got like wings, multiple wings. Yeah, it's kind of like that, except it's not laying on its side. It's not standing up vertical. And there's four of them. And so it's not like you're going to stick your hand in a propeller. That's not the same thing. They're wings. They're wings that are about 3 feet long, and they have a cord of about 6 to 9 inches.
That sounds like a similar concept to that Servatius windmill, but they've actually built those Servatius windmills, and let me get into this overpass. Found that the efficiency on the things was just not even close to what they predicted, so that's why nobody really builds the things. And as far as that nuclear diamond battery, I am hoping and praying that they come up with something like that, but, it sort of sounds like cold fusion. They've been talking about cold fusion for how many years?
Well, yeah, sometimes it takes time. if you look back in history, some of the biggest inventions, one guy picked up, like, before Tesla ever started, there was a guy that tinkered around with electricity a long time before Tesla, and 50 years went by and nobody messed with it, right? And then Tesla picked it up and started messing with it, and he spent a whole life on it. So, yeah, it takes time. But one thing's guaranteed, if you don't start, you'll never get there.
True, that is true. Well, but now, you know, the reason that Tesla was so successful and so smart was because he was an alien.
Because he was a what?
An alien.
You're going to have to spell it for me. I'm not getting you.
L-I-E-N, alien.
Oh, boy. I'm not going to touch that.
I thought you might get a laugh out of that. Oh, man. With all the new technologies out there, comes all the stupidity from people that goes with it. I get such a laugh out of people sometimes. I tell you, I just don't know how the human race has come as far as we have.
Yeah, one of the theories is that there have been a lot of human races, or not humans, but close to humans, that come and go. Yeah, they get up so far, and then they destroy themselves. And then they start all over again. They build themselves up so far, and then they destroy themselves. That might be what happens to us, too. Who knows? And it may have happened tens of thousands of times, millions of times, where they went 200, 300, 400,000 years, and then, boom, they're gone. They kill themselves off. It happens all the time. There's been more animals go extinct than there are quantity of species on the planet Earth today, you know.
That you should hit on that theory. I gotta tell you, I am a subscriber to that theory because they keep finding stuff out there that keeps predating, you know, all of their projections as far as the age of man. And I'm telling you, I really do think that man has come up and either destroyed himself or nature has knocked him down. Multiple times.
That's what Dwight Moses was all about. KD4 USA, lived up in Transylvania County. He was all into that. And he'd go study and he'd go to universities and look at their results of people doing tests. And they'd find artifacts here around this area, lots of them around this area, that predated history, right? They go back further than history. They're so prehistoric. And they took tools to build those things that prehistoric humans did not have, right? So that had to be like a civilization that came and went, and then we turned into a lava ball, and most everything was destroyed in a lava ball, but a few little artifacts like that survived it, little cold spots in the lava balls.
But you know the most important thing? Try to learn from history, because if you forget your history, you're doomed to repeat it. But as far as that far back, I just do the best I can today.
Yeah, we won't learn that in our lifetime. And sad to say, there hasn't been a video recorder built that'll last millions of years. It just sits out there and records everything that goes on. But it would be interesting if you could see all that.
Hold on.
Human history, what?
History, in the last 100 years, supposedly, everything that has been broadcast with radio waves, supposedly, if you travel out far enough into space, you can pick up those radio waves and view it all again as if it were new.
W4DJW. Yeah, that's how scientists go back in time, right? Because what's being emitted from Earth is being emitted from other planets and solar systems and galaxies as well. And what we see coming from across the other side of the universe happened billions of years ago, right? So we get to see a replay of it, an instant replay. Those particles of light are, but once they pass us, the only way to see them again is you've got to run out in front of them and then turn around and look at them as they pass by you again. The problem is that we haven't figured out a way to outrun them.
My little blue Mustang's just not that fast. Did I tell you I sold it?
Yeah, you did. Less and less work on cars and more work on airplanes.
Say FPV.
It is a lot more fun. Cars are fun too, but I think for us, the days of cars have come and gone. Now it's the days for the airplanes.
You notice how polite I'm being? I'm trying to leave a good gap in between keying up. So, and we're kind of hogging the frequency. Anybody else out there want to jump in?
Well, I don't know how much listening you did yesterday, but it was really quiet for a long part of the day yesterday. That's the most rest this repeater has had in ages.
Okay. Well, you know, every now and then people do work, so even us old geezers, I was out working yesterday. Yeah, I'm still stuck in my old 85 pickup truck. My son-in-law's got the Saturn, and sold the Mustang, and my truck, my Dodge, is in the shop getting repaired.
I didn't know your truck suffered any damage. I thought it was just the trailer. I've never seen the damage on your truck. Is it just not visible?
The guy came down a little slope. He just barely caught my running boards on the passenger side, and it put a big old crease in the metal down the running board, and it put a nice little scratch in the paint all the way down the bed. So they're just going to, I believe, the paint along the bed can be buffed out, but they're going to have to paint one little place on the cab. So it's extremely minor damage, and it did not damage the cab at all where the running board mounts, but they're putting me on a new set of black running boards.
Okay, so you're just keeping it in good shape. It wasn't anything... nothing functional or even you could see it unless you really got down and looked at it.
That's exactly right. And, you know, the truck's got 40,000 miles on it now, and it's in perfect condition. And I maintained that thing just like it was a play toy. Shoot. And I'm gonna keep it looking nice. Cool pickup truck, bud. How many miles you got on that now?
I ran it from 32 up to 35 since I've been retired. 32,000 up to 35,000. I think it's got 35 now. And that's mostly flying airplanes. A little bit of it is was going to the transfer station. I was looking up how many megabytes. Normally we use about 46 megabytes a day on this repeater, and that's compressed, MP3 compressed. And yesterday it was 34. So only a quarter or 25% less than typical.
I'd be surprised. I mean, we're running it up right now, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was down another 25% today, because I tell you, I haven't hardly heard anybody on there. N4WRO, Bill, and I were on there a little while ago, but that's the first I've heard today.
Well, usually like 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning when I get up, I pull that up and I listen to what happened and I look at what yesterday's results were. And so I pulled it up today and Tim and Mike and Ken and I think Patrick was in there a little bit. So was Andrew. They all ran up 6 megabytes by themselves this morning. So they talked all morning on it. So it's been very busy. You just haven't been listening.
Going to say KO4HKX.
Or maybe you were sleeping. Maybe you're checking your eyelids for pinholes. I hope you didn't have an accident, Patrick.
But there's been people on here, but there's just spells where there hadn't been this morning, too.
So was that Mike or Tim this morning? Which one is the one that goes in at 4 o'clock in the morning? Is that Mike?
Tim at 4, and Mike come in on there this morning with us. So we hadn't talked to Tim, or I hadn't heard him in months. And that's the first time I'd heard Mike in a few months.
Well, if Tim's going in at 4, there's nobody on the repeater at 4. Everybody's checking their eyelids out for pinholes at that time. That explains why we don't hear Tim. But Mike's the one that had poured a bad gallon of gas in his vehicle, and his wife had to bring him hers.
That's what I heard. I come in at the intel end of that conversation right there.
Yeah, he's trying to use up the end of an old gallon of fuel, of gas. Old being like around a year old was all. And I don't consider that old. My motorcycle's gone with two years with the same gas in there and still works fine. But that beating this morning, that's what he thinks it is. He's not 100% sure, but that's what he thinks happened.
Hey, you never know, gas sitting in those gas cans, they're real easy to get water collected down from condensation and stuff like that because they're not sealed tight. So you got to watch that. And if they sit out there for that long, they'll get condensation in them no matter what you do.
Yeah, especially if they sit outside where they're the temperature extreme. They'll do that every single night. It'll rain inside the gas tank. Not really rain, but you know, when it starts getting cool, water droplets form on the top, and then as it starts heating up, they seep down the side and mix with the gas.
So what happened to Steve? He just vanished.
He's trying to listen to what the neighborhood has to say. So, yeah, I'm going to be destined in about 10 minutes, though. I have enjoyed the ride along, Dave. I'm all the way down here in Simpsonville now. I got to go into the south end of Simpsonville and work on another one. I'm about 10 minutes away. So, Patrick, what are we going to do about you, boy? We got to get you up on a link on that. As Chad talked to you about that link around?
I know all about it.
So strong into the repeater last night.
Probably Monday night. Last night there was some interference on my end. I don't know. It seemed like everybody was having trouble last night.
You tried to come in right there?
Yeah, I got WWG, but that's all I got. If that's somebody trying to get into our repeater, that's another repeater with tropospheric ducting going on. And we might be hearing input from somebody trying to get into one of the other 6-1 repeaters up in Tennessee, for example.
Okay, and 4VW, yeah, that's probably what it is, because that was a really weak signal. They can't hear us back that way, can they?
So they don't hear the repeater, but they might. If you're an individual station and you're running a lot of power and you've got a really decent antenna and you're in a good location, you could come in on their repeater. But I think theirs in Johnson City has a tone on it, so you wouldn't break the squelch, because unless somebody else broke it and you rode their coattails after they let go of the mic, you could keep it up. You know, that's the only way you'd get in.
I've been on it that time. It's Kilo Oscar 4, and I could not catch the suffix.
So, Oscar 4, Whiskey Zulu.
For something, Whiskey Zulu.
Whiskey Zulu.
Right, Whiskey Zulu. I need a ham radio. I apologize.
Probably got him a little bit better. I'm going to back out for just a minute. Let you see if you can work him.
I got him. Is that you, Chandler? All right, Chandler. Well, nice to meet you. His call is KO4WWZ. Kilo Oscar 4 Whiskey Zulu. He's Chandler over in Easley, South Carolina. New ham radio operator. Welcome to amateur radio, Chandler. Your audio is really, really low. I don't know if you're on a handheld or if you're on a mobile station or what it is. If you're on a handheld, While I'm talking, look at your signal strength meter and move around until it comes up as high as it can come up. And that's your best place to transmit when you transmit back to us. If you're on a mobile station or something like that and you got a little bit more power you could put into it, that would help too.
Hey, Fred, is that you?
That's better. Are you on a handheld or are you on a mobile station?
Handheld, it's a dial thing, UV size one.
Okay, well, just watch that signal strength meter while you're talking to somebody and try not to forget and just walk away, because we call that getting off of your X. But wherever you are now, you found a really good spot. That's where your high signal strength is. That's where you need to go to transmit, because it sounds a lot better now than when you were originally trying to get in.
That's right, and even I'm getting you now, Chandler, and I'm on a mobile in Simpsonville. And guys, I'm going to bail out on you. I have arrived at my destination, so I've got to go in and do that four-letter word. So KN4, BWA, I'm clear, y'all carry on.
Brace, Gex, 7-3, Steve, and Dave, I'm going to go ahead and say 7-3 is also. And Chandler, nice to meet you. Maybe you can get into the repeater one a little better and we can talk a little bit. KO4HKX, and I'll be clear. 7-3s, guys.
All right. See you, Steve. And be safe out there, Patrick. And Chandler, is it you're sounding a whole lot better now. Have you found even a better location?
Absolutely, sir. This is crazy. How is that going? I'm standing right outside my friend's house here in Liberty, South Carolina.
Okay, well, you're making it a lot better than you were, but you're still, I mean, that's kind of a stretch for a handheld anyway in Liberty. But you are making it into the repeater. How long have you had your license?
Saturday.
Say again? I didn't catch that.
Saturday.
Oh, wow. You are really new to it. What drove you into getting your ham radio license?
I believe it's just more interesting. I have a CB radio in my car, but I heard that ham radio get out a lot farther and you can do a lot more with it. So I just CB radio.
Okay, well, you were right, and you're getting quite a ways out. You're going from Liberty up to Caesar's Head Mountain, right, at the top of the mountain where the WYFF tower site is. And then you're coming down from there, from the repeater, to me. I'm in Greer, and Steve was down there in Simpsonville, and Patrick is, he's mobile, he's out and about. He's anywhere between Penrose, North Carolina, and as far south, I think, as maybe southern part of Greenville. Anyway, you're sounding good, Chandler. Your radio is working.
That's awesome. I'm just going to go ahead and start, so I can...
All right, Chandler. Well, I hope to hear you on here more. And as you and don't be shy. Join in there. You did right, sticking it out and looking for your best signal to get in. Don't be shy, but join in. There's a lot going on this repeater and a lot of other repeaters in the area. So welcome one more time. Welcome to Amateur Radio KO4WWZ W4DJW. I'll be clear after you.
KO4WWZ. KO4WWZ. Fairly old mobile.